Okay, let's get into the message. So my wife this week, she sent me this, I don't know what you call it, a poem, anecdote, story. And she sent me this and she said, honey, you're really going to like this. And so I read it and I almost started to cry. And so I sent it to a group of friends. And then at our small group this week, I shared it with our small group. And then for our staff meeting, and they're all gone to camp already, I did this with them. So I'm going to share this with you this morning, and we're going to talk about this in our sermon today, okay? If you don't like it, you can blame my wife, okay? You can go to the next slide. A father told his daughter, "Congrats on your graduation. I bought you a car a while back. I want to give it to you now. Before I give it to you, please take it to a car dealer in the city and tell them you're considering selling it. See how much they offer." The girl returned to the father and said, "The dealership offered me $10,000 because the car looks very old." The father said, "Okay, now take it to the pawn shop." The girl returned to her father and said, "The pawn shop offered $1,000 because it is an ancient car and needs a lot of work." The father told her, to join a passionate car club with enthusiasts and experts. The girl drove the car to the club. After several hours, she returned to her father and told him that some people offered her $100,000 because the car is rare and in good condition. The father told his daughter, "I want to let you know that you are not worth anything if you are not in the right place. Do not be angry if you're not appreciated, because that means you're in the wrong place. Sweetheart, do not stay in a place where no one sees your value. Know your worth and know where you are valued." I almost got a little choked up again. This story illustrated all girls should hear this, but really all people should hear this. This story illustrates really a rather profound sort of biblical lesson. I believe one that God wants to constantly teach us about understanding our worth and being in environments where human value is recognized and appreciated. And hopefully that is in the family of God. Amen. So today's topic is valued by God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when we consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, we are in awe of your creation. What is mankind that you are mindful of us? Human beings that you care for us. You've made us a little lower than the angels and crowned us with splendor and honor. Lord, you're our shepherd and we lack nothing. You make us lie down in green pastures. You lead us beside quiet waters. You refresh our souls. You guide us along the right paths for your name's sake. Even though at times we walk through the darkest valley, we will fear no evil, for you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You've searched each one of us, Lord, and you know us. You know when we sit, you know when we rise, you perceive our thoughts from afar. You discern our going out and our lying down. You're familiar with all human ways. Before word is on our tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem us in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful, us too lofty for any of us to attain. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heaven. Your faithfulness to the skies. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains. Your justice like the great deep. You, Lord, preserve both people and animals. How priceless is your unfailing love, oh God. Take refuge in the shadow of your wings. So we wait patiently for you, Lord. You turn to us and you hear our cry. You lifted us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. You set our feet on a rock and gave us a firm place to stand. You put a new song in our mouths, a hymn of praise to you, O God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in you. Because of you, Lord, because of you, you rescue us. Because we love you. You will protect our church, for we acknowledge your name. We, Gateway City Church, will call on you, and you will answer us. You will be with us in trouble. You will deliver us and honor us. With long life, you will satisfy us and show us your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for your infinite love and care. And the church said, amen. Understanding our inherent worth as created and cherished by God compels us to be in church relationships where our value is honored. Today, I hope we are just reminded to embrace and reflect on these biblical principles of God's love, of God's approval, and of God's guidance. 4 points for us today, and then I'm out. Amen? Point number one, God knows our inherent worth. God knows our inherent worth. In Genesis 1:27, it says this, so God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Being made in the image of God. It says that we have inherent dignity. We have worth. We have value. We reflect God's very nature. And I know, as I say often, we don't always act in accordance with that. But we, God knows we are inherently worthy. In fact, Jesus says in Luke 12:67, he says, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Instead, the very hairs of your head are not all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Praise God, I'm worth more than sparrows. Amen. You're worth more than many sparrows. God is always trying to communicate this message to you. You are worthy. You have value. You have inherent worth. You have worth maybe that you don't always grasp, but you can always get your arms around. And you may be like me. You go through days where you're kind of feeling funky. Amen. I have a lot of days like that where I just feel funky. In fact, last night, my along with the EKs and the Garcias, went over and had dinner at the Norwood's house last night. If you haven't met Ron and Kim, they're fabulous people, incredible. And so on my way over there, I was telling my wife, she says, how you doing? I'm going, just kind of in a little bit of a funk here. This rental car thing's got me down, you know, I got to drive to camp and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I just get all in my head, you know. And so we go over and Ron takes us through a little exercise where we kind of have to, you know, kind of center ourselves. And we go through this thing before dinner. We have to do something. When you go to Ron's house, you got to work before you eat. You know what I mean? So we're going through some exercises and we're just kind of clearing our mind a little bit. And at the end of it, I felt really better. And Ron goes, you know, this is good because some of us have monkey brain. I'm going, yep, that's me. And got all kind of things going on in my brain constantly. But all of that tends to make me constantly feel a little bit like, man, I'm not doing well enough. Right. I'm not good enough. I'm not measuring up enough. I'm not enough. I just need to do more. I need to do more. We're going to do communion at the end of the day, everybody. So this is actually the sermon. So communion will be at the end of the day. Or you can do it now if you want to. But Romans 5, verse 8 says this, and this is Jesus. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that God just saying, I care about you so much. You are so valuable. You are so worthy that I'm going to die for each of you. Because God knows something about us that I don't even know about myself. I don't always know how inherently worthy I am. In fact, I spent a lot of my life, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. But God says, you are inherently worthy. Now, I don't think it's a call for me to go around and going, you know, I'm pretty worthy. But I mean, God knows something about us that I don't fully grasp or understand. Just like the dealer or the pawn shop didn't realize the car's value. Sometimes the world, it doesn't acknowledge our worth. But God knows our actual value. And he cherishes us so deeply. Amen. Point number two, God's approval matters the most. God's approval matters more than anything else. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "For I'm now," this is Paul, he's kind of dealing with the church at Galatians. He says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." You love that conviction coming through? It says, in my life and how I live, am I trying to please men or am I trying to please God? If I were trying to please God, then I wouldn't even follow Jesus. I wouldn't be a servant at all. No. Yeah? If I was trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of God at all. Thank you, Corey. Corey's paying attention up here. It's our resident engineer. Amen. If I was trying to please men, I wouldn't be a servant of God at all. He says, I care about pleasing God more than anything else. Like the car, finding appreciation among enthusiasts. We should be and seek to be in environments and in relationships that honor our God-given worth, rather than trying to gain approval from those who do not see our value. Amen. I think this is kind of how life can be sometimes, right? There's a funny saying that goes around like this. And, you know, when you hire people, if you're having a management job or when you're hired, there's two things you're trying to do usually. You're really working hard at the job you were hired to do. And then the other thing you're working really hard at is trying to cover up all your weaknesses. Because none of us really, we're afraid that if I show vulnerability or weakness, then that's going to show that I'm not worthy. I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. And so we spend a lot of time caring about what, how we look and our reputation and how we come across. But only God's approval matters, and it matters more than anything else. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." There is work for us to do, amen. But all of the works that we do, it's not about how good you are. It's God's given us something to do. And God's not sitting in heaven going, "That's about a B minus, Vince. That's about a D plus." He just goes, "Just get to work. I know some days it's going to look better than others, but just get busy. Just get to work. You are valuable, but God's approval, it matters more than anyone else's." Amen. Point number three, God guides us to the right places. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I have plans to prosper you and plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future." God is always leading us to the right places. And sometimes it may be just like a father, like the father in the story. "Now, honey, I want you to go there. Now, you see, that's not really worth it. Now, go over there. Now, I want you to go here." Sometimes it doesn't feel like God's taking you directly where he wants you to go, but he is always leading you to the right place. That's why the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Man, we need to surround ourselves with people who recognize and understand the worth of God's children, amen? But hopefully we are the people of God. We are the church where when people come in, they get a sense of, "Man, brother, sister, I love you." And they have come to the right place. When people come through the door, hopefully they feel like, "I've come to the right place," amen? Because I believe God's leading them to us and God's leading us to one another, amen? And it's not perfect. It can be a little funky sometimes. I get it. But God is always bringing you to the right place. Proverbs 12:26 says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." Hopefully we're always in following God. We're choosing the right kind of people to hang around. Amen. I talk to my girls often and I talk about, "So tell me about your friends. You know what I mean? Tell me about this kid and tell me about that kid. And I kind of want to know, to get to know their friends, because if there's one of them and that's a little strange, I can just kind of, you know, pray for that kid a little bit more and maybe have my kid not hang around them so much. Amen? But God's always, he's always leading us in the right path. Of course, Acts 17, 24 through 28 makes this real clear. It says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. But get this, from one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for all people and the places where they should live. You know why God did this? So that we would reach out for him, and perhaps we would seek him and reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and have our being. Some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. You know, this passage tells me that God cares so much about human unity, that he could have, he said, from one person I created all nations of men. So none of us can really say, you know, I'm better than the other. We go, we're kind of all from the same place. I know, but your skin looks a little, but we're all kind of from the same place. Right. You know, there really is one race. It's the human race. Amen. Yeah. That's it. I know we figure ways to divide ourselves and figure out all these things about us that are so different and we're so unique, because it kind of makes us feel cool. Right. You know what I mean? Or special or better or superior. Trust me, we've made all those mistakes and we still make them today, amen? But God cares so much about human unity. He cares so much about people being together. He cares so deeply. And he is always pulling us together, bringing us together. We find ways to keep ourselves apart from one another, right? Whenever there's a little funkiness or a little tension, we're really good with this in Christianity. Oh yeah? Well, you gonna sing that song? I'm just gonna go start another church over here, you know what I mean? I'm just going to go over here and do this. I'm just going to leave for that reason. No, God goes, you know, we got to pull this thing together. This famous Jewish scholar once said, and I maybe shared this with you once before. And she said, you know what's wrong with you Christians? You don't know how to fight. Well, really? Yeah, yeah. Every time you have a fight, you just leave and go somewhere else, start another group down the street, start another. Since we Jews, we've been around forever. What do you got, like three or four different groups, you know? Y'all been around a couple of thousand years. You're just split, divided all over the place. You don't know how to fight. No, that's a good point. We need to fight better. Amen? But God's pulling us together. And hopefully we are those people that we are coming together. And we realize that God is, he is drawing all men to his son, Jesus. Amen? And point number four. You guys are a little quiet today. Is this because this is at a different time in the sermon as with the service? And like, bro, this is really not, we'll take communion now. We should be head in lap and quiet, you know what I mean? Last point, God gave us unique value. Psalm 139, love this verse. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You're so unique, God, because I value, we're so valuable in God's eyes. Look at God, because I create you in your mother's womb. I knit you together. You're not just, you are valuable. You're not just a fetus. You are valuable to God. You're like that rare car. You're uniquely valuable. You just got to be around the right people that can share that with you. We should remember our unique place in God's plan and live in a way that reflects our divine worth. Amen. We got to realize that. We got to come together and we got to always be talking about just how valuable we are to one another, because it's kind of hard to feel that way sometimes in the world. Sometimes in the world, you're valuable if, well, you get your work done and you get everything done, then you're good. You know what I mean? If you don't, then just move along. But no, we should feel that way about one another. You know, 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen people. God says you are a royal priesthood. God says you are a holy nation. It's God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Listen to what he says here. You are chosen. You are royal. You're holy. You're set apart. You're different. You're God's special possession. Come on now. That's got to make you say hallelujah. Amen. And we are together. We are valuable in God's eyes. And I want you to understand, he's not saying that to any one individual. He's saying that to the church. Amen. We are that. Amen. The church is that. We're like that old car. May not be beneficial to the world. Sometimes we may not even be very precious to one another. Amen. But we're like that old car. We may be tempted sometimes to listen to what the average dealer thinks or the savvy pawn shop person says. That old gal, she won't run anymore. That old gal's a little old fashioned. She looks a little beat up. That old girl, she's old school. She's out of touch, not up with the times. Don't even have power windows, heated seats. Can you start it like this? You know what I mean? You're just a fanatic about old stuff. That old thing, that old gal is dead. She's done, rusted out from the bottom. But I'm going to tell you, with a little elbow grease, a little effort, a little time, man, she could look good. Put her up there. She can polish up real nice. Anybody seen Gone in 60 Seconds? Eleanor. She's a beauty. This is what God sees when he looks at us. This is what God sees when he looks at his people. He doesn't see that old rust bucket. He sees something way more valuable, way more precious. It's not an old thing. It can certainly be polished up again. Just not only like our individual lives, but collectively we can as well. Amen. Just as rare cars are uniquely valuable among car enthusiasts, we should remember our unique place in God's plan and live in a way that reflects our divine worth. But when we understand and we apply just these simple biblical principles, we can better appreciate our worth in God's eyes and seek places and people and fellowship where we recognize our honor and we value one another. And we remember that God who created and loves us unconditionally, he is the one that ultimately defines our worth. Amen. As we wrap up, let's embrace our intrinsic value as humans made in God's image. Let's strive to better understand his profound love demonstrated through Jesus' sacrifice. Allow such a beautiful reality to make us bold and courageous, just like a rare car. We must be those who value and appreciate our God-given significance. As I said, people are usually doing two things depending on the setting they're in. They do the task of whatever they're here for, and that could be church. It could be anywhere. You come to church and you're here to do church, right? But then the other task we're sometimes doing, and we don't even know we're doing it because we do it so often, is that we're covering up our deficiencies. We're hiding our weaknesses. And we do all of that because we want to preserve our self-worth. We are preserving our self-worth in a couple of ways. We're either overestimating ourselves or we're underestimating ourselves. But we constantly do this thing, and you don't even realize it happens so often. You walk out your door, you just can feel like, am I worthy? And maybe you don't, it's subconscious to you now, but I'm here to tell you, you are worthy. Let's lean into this simple, yet profound, these simple but profound principles. God knows our inherent worth. God's approval matters most. God is always guiding us to the right places. And God has given us unique value. Because church, we are valued by God.